Yosef Press over there. He's sitting. Who's that smiling? Who's that in front of him that's smiling? Who are you? You're a classmate?
In Alpine.
What?
In the Alpine.
So you're also.
He's the first person I know that you make reference to.
He's the first person you know that?
That you've made reference to since I've been in.
So that's Yosef Press from Baltimore, Made Aliyah, about a few months ago. And he has a wife and twin boys. And we all want to wish him and his family that they should have a Yishuv Tov here in this country. Now, who are you? The old tennist.
I'm also an Olah.
You're also an Olah Chadasha? From where?
From Dallas.
From Dallas, Texas. From Dallas, Texas, you came on Aliyah, your family?
My husband.
Okay. And what's your name?
I'm Joan.
Jody?
Joan.
Okay, Joan, welcome to Eretz Yisrael. We're very happy. Every one of you that comes here gives us great strength. And we need it. That's going to be the upshot of this shiur. But wait, I can't say anything about the shiur until it's until we put on the MP3. Where is he? Did you put on the video?
Yes.
All the Snarkishkeit I've been talking about all went on to
yeah.
It wasn't such Snarkishkeit. It was welcoming two Olim. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. Okay, just one moment. Okay. Recall. Good morning, everybody. Now, let me say the following. By way of introduction, this shiur is a very, very serious shiur. It may be the most serious shiur you've heard in a long, long time. Anybody who, during the course of this shiur, is going to be left with the impression that this is something of a political nature is making a tragic, tragic mistake. This is a very serious shiur. It most probably is more important for us today in Eretz Yisrael than anything else that I can tell you. And I don't know if I'm going to finish it in one shiur. It may have to go into another shiur, but that doesn't make any difference. I'm going to sum up the shiur in one line on your sheet, down at the bottom of the page. It says, HaKore et HaMegillah LeMafreya, Lo Yotso. Whoever reads the Megillah LeMafreya, I'm going to tell you the real meaning of this halacha, and then I'll tell you what the Baal Shem Tov said. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to quote it often. HaKore et HaMegillah LeMafreya, this is the first sentence in the first Mishnah of the second chapter of Masechet Megillah. HaKoreyat HaMegillah LeMafreya means if you read the Megillah out of order, before, if the latter comes before the former. For example, you're going to read chapter 6 of the Megillah before you read chapter 2.
Oh, wow.
If you're going to read Pasuk 10 in any chapter before Pasuk 9 or Pasuk 8. Anything that you read out of order in the Megillah, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Okay? The reason is simple. Because the whole purpose of reading the Megillah is to publicize the miracle, that which took place. So you have to tell a logical story. Now, you can't start the story with La Yehudim Haita Oravis and Chavis of Zombie Akal. There was great joy to all Jews. Joy what? What joy? You have to know the build-up of who are the people we're dealing with. What is the great threat that faces the Jewish people? No story starts at the end. The story starts at the beginning, and you go step by step through the story. That's the halacha. Hakoreh haMegillah l'mafreya. If you read the Megillah, the word l'mafreya can also mean before, meaning the latter is read before the former, so it's out of order. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah. The Baruch Shem Rebbe used to quote the Baal Shem Tov, and he says the following. Baal Shem Tov said, Hakoreh as haMegillah, anybody who reads the Megillah and is left with the impression that this is l'mafreya, this is something that happened long ago and far away, and it's really not terribly relevant to our lives today. Lo Yotza hasn't fulfilled, he doesn't understand the Megillah. He doesn't understand the extent to which the Megillah has impact, significance in our generation, today. If you're going to read it like some story of once upon a time, Bible critics, you know, all of those that understood the Megillah, or rather didn't understand the Megillah, I think it's some kind of a Cinderella story. Here is this beautiful, ravishing girl, and she simply captivates the heart of this tipsy king over there. And it's such a cute, cute story. Anybody who reads the Megillah doesn't understand a word of what's going on. Everything in the Megillah is serious. And the purpose of this year and maybe next week is going to be to show as far as possible how precisely the Megillah reads Jewish history. That's the purpose of this year. HaKoreh HaMegillah L'mafreya. Let's put it in other terms. B'chol dor v'dor chayiv adam lida sasatzme. In every generation, a person has to see himself as though he's living through the story of the Megillah, not as though, because he is living through the story of the Megillah. The ultimate purpose of this year is to show that the overwhelming people in the world want this country destroyed utterly. Want every Jew to be killed. That is, and I'll prove it, that this is the approach of Islam. And Islam is now the power in the world. They say it clearly, Hamas says it in its charter, that there will be no redemption for mankind. The ultimate goal of mankind and the great new period in history begins when the last Jew is dead. That's today. We're not talking about Ahasuerus 2,500 years ago. Every last Jew is dead. That's what they want. And I'm going to prove it. And anybody, I'm out of the whole dar gadar. That's the point of the whole shit. And anybody who understands that will be able to listen to the news and read the news and understand it in a completely different way. Our guys over here are still talking about making a deal with the Palestinian Authority, and this is not politics. I'm talking Torah right now. Get it straight. So this morning in the paper it says Saeed Ba'arakat, or whatever it is, you know, they pulled him out of mothballs, that he's working toward getting the European Union and the United States to recognize Hamas, and if they recognize Hamas, then you can have the two of them together, the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. Don't look at these yet. I'll just read one choice paragraph. Now, I'll read it, you're going to get lost. You're going to start looking at this, you're going to get lost. I may get lost even looking for what I want to find. You may not even... Just listen. Sit back and listen. This is a paragraph from the Hamas charter. As regards local and world wars, it has come to pass, and no one objects, that they, the Jews, stood behind World War I. We started it. For what purpose? So as to wipe out the Islamic caliphate. Turkey, that was the last vestige of ancient Islam, was brought down during the First World War. And we started the First World War because we wanted to destroy the grandeur and the majesty of Islam. I'm continuing with the... they collected material gains and took control of many sources of wealth. They obtained the Balfour Declaration and established the League of Nations in order to rule the world by means of that organization. The League of Nations was our diabolical creation, so that through the League of Nations, we are going to rule the world. They also stood behind World War II, where they collected immense benefits from trading with war materials and prepared for the establishment of their state. They inspired the establishment of the United Nations and the Security Council to replace the League of Nations in order to rule the world by their intermediary. We rule the world through the United Nations that has condemned us hundreds of times. That's not written in the Hamas Charter. The last sentence in this paragraph, in this part of the Hamas chapter, the charter, there was no war that broke out anywhere without their fingerprints on it. We are the source of evil in the whole world. You understand that? Now, if you think it seems so fanciful, it's nothing. They believe it, Ben Muna Shlema. The Heiliger Jerusalem Post. What is this? This is Daf 13. That was a few days ago. Sunday, March 6th. The editorial. The axiomatic enemy. We Israelis don't even know it. But according to some, on both sides of the great turbulence lately sweeping across the Arab land, the underlying cause of all the havoc is, as ever, Israel. This is no joking matter. They believe it. They believe it that we are the single force of evil in the whole world. In addition to that, they believe that we're the ones who manipulate the United States of America. I'll stop your head. Obama listens to Netanyahu. Let's see. The assorted hoaxes share persistent common denominators. Israel's long hand stirs the Arab pot, manipulates the naive Arab masses, and stage manages their current melodramas. What's taking place in Libya, in Tunisia, in Egypt, in Yemen, you name it, wherever it's going on, it's us, it's Israel, it's Jews, it's the Mossad. This is serious. They believe it. They believe it. We'll get back to this. But the Megillah. First page, number one. Vayar Haman saw Kieng Mordechai Torea Mushtaka Velo. The king had said that everybody should bow down and scrape before Haman, and there's one person who doesn't bow down. And by the way, he didn't really see it immediately. It says that those who were in the king's palace, they told Haman, they whispered to Haman, you should know, everybody's bowing down before you, but not this fellow Mordechai. And then Haman became aware of it by Yar Haman. Haman saw Kieng Mordechai Korea Mishtakabelo. Mordechai doesn't bend or bow before him. Vayimolei Haman Chema. And Haman became full of... What word did they use? Rage? Rage would be a very good word. Good word.
Wrath.
Huh?
Wrath.
Wrath. All right, wrath. Wrath, rage. It's all the same thing. All right, good. Because that's a word that's going to come up often, maybe occasionally, in the course of our discussion. There's rage. in the Arab world, there is rage against the state of Israel and against individual Jews wherever they may be in the world. So therefore it says, however it seemed contemptible to him to send his hand against Mordechai alone, because they told him, Mordechai's people, oh, he's Jewish. Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews that are in the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, on Mordechai, the nation of Mordechai. I mean, like it said so simply, he just decides we're going to wipe out the whole people. Simple. We're going to just wipe them out. Crush them. Kill them. Exterminate them. That's pretty good. You have to be able to do that. B'chodesh HaRishon, Hu Chodesh Nisan Mishnah Shtei Mesvei LaMelech Achashverosh Hitul Pur, he casts lots on the first day of Chodesh Nisan, and it came out for the month of Adar. Adar is the month next, the following year in Adar. That means another 12 months down the road, that's going to be the day of rage, the day of the destruction of the Jewish people. Vayomer, where it's underlined now, Vayomer HaMelech Haman LaMelech Achashverosh, Haman said to King Achashverosh, Yeshno An Echad, every word is important. There is one people, Mefuzar U'Meforad Bein Ha'amim, they are dispersed and spread out amongst all the nations of the world, Bechol Medinas Malchusecha, all the states of your realm. Now we're going to see, as we study today's anti-Semitism, as we study what's going on in the world of Islam, which really derives all of its basic ideas from two forebearers. The Tata was Soviet Russia, and the Zeta was Nazi Hitler Germany. And it goes back, the real birth, it would seem in our time, is Tsarist Russia. In Tsarist Russia, they created a book, a fictional book, called The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. The Protocols of the Elders of Zion describes a secret society of Jews all over the world who are moving toward taking control of the whole world and enslaving the whole world. Sounds wild? Wait. Yeshno Am Echad. What do you think Haman is telling Ahasuerosh? Why should Ahasuerosh agree to wipe out this whole people? Because Haman is telling him, this is the first protocols of the elders of Zion. There's one people in this world, for some strange reason, they're spread out all over the world. You know what he's telling them? There's a people that are plotting against you, and they're all over the world. They are in key positions. They own the banks, the insurance companies, the media. This is such an essential part of Islamic thought today. You have no idea. And by the way, don't shed a tear for Hosni Mubarak, because it was Egypt that printed more copies of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and Mein Kampf than any other country in the world. They've spread it throughout the world. This is the one whom we are at peace with, you understand?
Yeah.
This is the one we're at peace with. All right, he's beginning to get his Einish boy, but he has to get much more than all of that. They have to strip him of every penny he's worth. Let him die in poverty someplace in an attic in downtown Cairo. All right, okay, Martin. Doesn't that happen to all great artists? And all right. Yeshno Am Echo, there's one people that are spread out throughout the world. V'doseim shonos mikolom, their laws are different. And now the word dot means what dot means today. Their religion is different than the religion of any other people on the face of this earth. They're different. Fundamental to Islamic anti-Semitism as it was to all others is the fact that the Jew is viewed by the world as an outsider, an other. He's different. He's not one of us. When you say he's not one of us, take it one step further. He's not really human. They believe this. They believe Jews are the devil, the source of all evil. We're the ones that brought AIDS to the world. We killed Christian and Muslim children. We used their blood for matzah. All of this is being spread through the world right now. Go on to any of their websites. Yesh no am echo. There is one people, Mufuzer and Mufarad Beinu Amin. Bechol Medinos HaMelech. Bechol Medinos Malchusecho. Bedoseim. Their laws are different from Mikolam. There's Dosei HaMelech Einem Osim. They don't keep the laws of the kingdom. V'lamelech Ein Shoveh LaHanicham. There's no value whatsoever for the king to leave them remain alive. They have to be obliterated completely. There's no question about it that Haman is describing the Jewish people as a threat to the kingdom of Ahasuerus. It's not simply, they're just the people, they don't make too much trouble. They're different, so kill them because they're different. No. They're different. And remember, he is talking now to a king, Ahasuerus, who was just saved from an assassination plot. Ahasuerus already sees that there is opposition to him throughout the world. He doesn't even know yet that the one who saved him, of course, was a Jew. He's a frightened man, Ahasuerus. He's not a fool. No, don't have this impression of Ahasuerus being tipsy, some king half drunk with a dunce cap on his head. Ha ha ha. Ahasuerus. The Gemara says he was a Rasha of the highest order. The Sahusni Mubarak. Rasha Mevusha. Evil. Throw Qaddafi in over there. All of these. I don't know all the rest of these names.
What do you know about
Hosni Mubarak?
He helped Israel a lot.
This is not a political discussion. The fact is that he hasn't stepped foot in this country except to be present at the death of at the Leviathan of a Jew.
Yeah, but he helped Israel a lot.
I just said that he is the greatest purveyor of anti-Semitism in the whole world. There is nobody who has spread abroad hatred, raw hatred of Jews than Hosni Mubarak. I don't need any more than that. He is Mr. Hate Jews in the whole world. Cairo is the place where they've millions upon millions of copies of the protocols of the elders of Zion fuels all the hatred against the Jewish people in the world. Hosni Mubarak. And our jerks over here go running down. They used to go running down to every Muntik and Damashtik to get a photo op with Hosni Mubarak. And his people have been the most persistent in the world to get Israel to give up its atomic arsenal. Amra Musa. They've been bringing it up at every session of the UN. Do you know what giving up our arsenal would mean? You know what that would mean? That would be the end of the Jewish people. So I'm sorry, I don't... you can like Hosni Mubarak. I despise him utterly. And I'm very happy that he's fallen. Do I know what will come in this place? I don't know what will come in this place. But we know that's not the cheshbon we ever have to make. We don't have to consider maybe the next one will be worse. Because the end of this year is going to be... Well, yeah, maybe not the end, If they would want to crush us... Well, how many? There are a billion Muslims? They can't just crush this one little country? One little country? They can't crush us? What's going on?
Yeah,
Marga, she gets it. There's no question about it in my mind that there's a Rabbeinu Shlomo who looks after us. There's no other way. They can crush us at any moment in time. All right. Good. We're back to Torah. And it's been Torah all along. I talk only Torah. All right. Imam HaMelech Tov, if it is good to the king, Yikosid Ladom, let it be written, they should be destroyed, and 10,000, I'm giving 10,000 shekels of silver, or kesef of silver, Eshkol, there. He said, well, all right, he's ready to buy the Jews. Achashverosh agrees, Achashverosh gives him his signet ring, he can now make any decree that he wants. That's one conversation. This conversation becomes very, very difficult to understand the moment we read a second conversation. This is a few chapters later in the Megillah. Vayikach Haman number 2. Vayikach Haman es halavush ves hasus vayalbesh es Mordechai. Haman takes the garment and the horse. The king has told him, do such to Mordechai. Take him through the streets of Shushan and announce before him, so shall be done to the man. That the king wants to honor him. By Yosef Mordechai, when it's all over, Haman took Mordechai through the city streets. By Yosef Mordechai, Mordechai went back to the gate of the king. And Haman hurried home despondent and with his head covered. And in mourning, this next pasuk, unbelievable. How do we understand it? By Yisaper, Haman was Zeresh Ishto, Ulechol O'Avov. Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends, at Kol Asher Koro, everything that happened. Vayom Lulo Chachamav. We assume, of course, that his wise men and his wife are going to say to him words of consolation, right? Och and vey, on this kind of consolation. These are their words. Im Yizera Yehudim Mordechai Asher Hachiloto Limpolifanav. If this Jew Mordechai, if he's from the family of Jews, the one who you've begun to fall before him, Lo tuchalo, you will never succeed against him. Ti nafol, ti pol, lefono. You're going to fall before him. In the first conversation, when Haman is speaking to the king, he has absolutely no qualms about destroying the entire Jewish people. And what are we talking about now? It's not the entire Jewish people. It's Haman against one fellow, Mordechai. And his family tells him, if this Mordechai had begun to fall, you're going to fall, you're finished, it's all over. What does it mean? How can they say that? Why don't they just tell him, go send one of your agents and crush him like a cockroach? Wipe him out! This Haman in the first conversation is ready to destroy the entire Jewish people. And now all of a sudden his family tells him, if you've begun to fall before him, you're finished. What's going on? It makes no sense whatsoever. So I had said a few years ago, and I want to correct the impression. Then I said a nice, cute word that my brother had told me, my brother, Rav Yosef Yoel Oshon, told me many years ago. And then I find something similar in the Malvim. The Malvim is more serious than what my brother said. But my brother is also true. But they're both not the Pshat. I believe they're both not the Pshat in the Pasuk. My brother had said the following. You're beginning to fall before this fellow Mordechai. You know what you gotta do? You know what you gotta do? Surprise him. Fall down before him. Huh? Tell him, I'm gonna recognize you. I'm going to make peace with you. We're going to send ambassadors, and you're going to send ambassadors to us. And we're going to send cultural groups to visit you, and you'll sell cultural groups to us. Novel people, play act that you are. You're giving him recognition. What does the poor Jew want in this world? Somebody should give him a little recognition, you know, that that we exist, that we're something. That's sort of, in a certain sense, it's making fun of Jews that are always running, you know, to fall before these guys, you understand? Fall before these guys. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Barak is going to make peace with Syria. Barak is going to make peace with Syria. You know what? That's political. And I stand by it. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. Okay. He didn't make peace with Arafat, who was wanting to give him 98 or 99% of Yudah Shamar. They're not going to make peace. But you're going to find out why. The ultimate purpose of this year is to find out why. According to the Malden movement, it seems that they're saying something more profound to him. If this fellow Mordechai, who you've begun to fall before him, if he is Jewish, you're going to fall. And what they mean is the following. Oh, I think I have that Gemara on the second side over here. Last thing I remembered to put in was this Gemara in the Gila. Start on line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Line 7. Kesarivi Yerushalayim. Caesarea and Jerusalem. Im Yom Alakha, Adam. If a man is going to tell you, Chorvu Shtehen, both of them are destroyed. Caesarea here represents the Gentile world that despises the Jewish people. It was the seat of the Roman occupation of Eretz Yisrael. They were brutal. If somebody will tell you Chorvu Shneim, both of them are destroyed. Al Tamin, don't believe. Yoshvu Shteim, if both of them are thriving, Al Tamin, don't believe them. If somebody will tell you Chorva Kesari v'Yoshvu Yerushalayim, that Caesarea is laid waste in Jerusalem, is settled. Or Chorva Yerushalayim, the Yoshua Kesari, then Jerusalem is laid waste and Caesarea settled, Tamin, believe. Because these two powers cannot be ascendant in the world at the same time. Pasuk in Yechezkel, Shenemar, it says, Imal ohochorova, I shall be filled with her that is laid waste. If one is Chorev, the other is ascendant, and vice versa. You know what they're saying? They know this pasuk in Yechezkel. If you're beginning to fall before Mordechai, that means the moment in history has come where the Jews are going to be ascended. And if so, you're finished. You're finished. They mean we're finished. We. Talking about the whole family. All of them. If this one is filled, the other is laid waste. If the other one is filled, this one is laid waste. And then the Gemara brings it, and this is a Rashi and Chumash also. When Rivka is pregnant and is having difficulty in her pregnancy, she goes to ask God what's happening, and God tells her, there are two nations in your womb, and they are contending with one another. Ula'om mila'om ye'ematz. One of those nations will wax stronger than the other. To which Rashi says, if Rome is ascendant, Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. If Yerushalayim is being rebuilt, then Rome is going to have great difficulty. I had always thought, and it was a mistake, I was young, made a mistake, but I'm going to make sure you're not going to make the mistake. Always thought that there was a dramatic, great shiur by Rav Soloveitchik about it, that when Yerushalayim, the old city of Yerushalayim, fell to Klal Yisrael in the Six-Day War, this was an absolute shattering theological experience for the Christian church, the Catholic church. It could not be that Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, should be in the hands of Jews. It was a devastating experience for them. And incidentally, that's why the Catholic Church has always been pushing for internationalization of Yerushalayim. Internationalization of Yerushalayim will at least mean that it's not in the hands of Jews, but in the hands of Jews it cannot be. I mean, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the Kever of Yerushalayim, no, it can't be. They also understood. They understood the same thing. If one is ascendant, the other is in decline. What I didn't know is that for the Muslim world, not only in Yerushalayim, one piece of Eretz Yisrael in the hands of the Jews is a blow to their entire theology. Kal v'chomer, of course, if the old city of Jerusalem is in the hands of Jews, this is absolutely shattering theologically for them. So they also know of this idea, if one is ascendant, the other is on the way down. That's what they're saying. This is the way I'm interpreting the Malbim. In Mizera Yehudim Mordechai Asher Hachilot Olimpol of Odeviv, this Mordechai before whom you have fallen is Mizera Yehudim, not all people will fall. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. But the Malbim also says, then you know what? They're giving him advice. Submit before him. If you want to save yourself, submit to him. I want to say a completely different pshat in Nafal Tipol Lefanov. And the rest of the shir, and who knows how much more, there's going to be a lot more, is going to be to prove that what I'm saying is true. The Muslim mind, has been trained today, we're talking about today, in modern times. And by the way, the roots go back to Muhammad himself. That the world must be in the hands of Islam. That Eretz Yisrael has to be in the hands of Islam, there's no question about it. The establishment of the state and then Yerushalayim falling into our hands, it was even more shattering to the Muslims than it was to the Catholics. And the reason is the following, I say. Their whole approach to the world today is, and I'm going to prove it, their whole approach to the world today is that there is a global plot. There are Jews all over the world who hold positions of great power. And they are amassing the wealth, the might, the power, the strength in order to ultimately take over the world. This is the protocols of the elders of Zion. We are all over. Everything is in our hands. You know what happened? Haman and his family believed the same thing. They believed the same thing. But as long as they are ascendant, then they're going to crush Mordechai and all of his family. But when they see that Mordechai has had a major victory over Haman now, everything that they talk themselves into and they believe it as reality, they see this fiction, which to them is reality, coming true. You know what they see? All of these so-called phantom powers of Jews all over the world are rising. There's no way that we're going to be able to fight them off. It sounds mad to you? Let's see when we're finished whether it's going to sound so mad to you. If you've begun to fall before Mordechai, you know what it means? That international Jewry, with all of their agents in place, with all of their financial power, with all of the banks and the insurance companies and the media. They're all rising up and they're going to crush us and destroy us. That's the great fear of the Muslim world. That was the fear that they're, if they're rising, we've had it. You know what? Let's start proving it. What do I have to dry it up? Let's go. Doesn't make any difference. You know, turn the whole thing over to the last page. I'm just going to read. I'll tell you where I'm reading. And, you know, I'll tell you, from Valet Puntos. I told you some months ago about this book. 940 pages of text, a few hundred pages of footnotes, and I was telling you about it before most of the world knew about it, but they didn't know anything about it. But right now, the author of this book and this book has become, they've been writing it up in all of the, wherever you go, here, what is it? Here, this was the Jerusalem Post, one page in the Jerusalem Post, this weekend, yeah. Robert Wistrich. Robert Wistrich is a professor of history at Hebrew University, and his specialty for the last 40 years has been anti-Semitism. It's unbelievable. He has studied anti-Semitism, and the book is current until December 2010. The full gamut. Hamas, PLO, Egypt, Syria, Libya, England, France, describes in full detail. It's frightening. It's frightening. It's the heaviest book I ever bought. Not so simple. When I walked out of Stravinsky with this, you understand, I was bent down like this, flapping it out. Cost me more than any other book cost. 259 shekel. It was worth every penny. It'll take me most probably another few months until I've committed most of this to memory. But because I hold that this is mamish, if you want to understand anything you read in the papers today, if you want to understand the situation in which we find ourselves, who our friends are, and what our so-called friends believe, and what our partners are, and what their plan for us is, you will be a great deal freer in understanding really what's happening. Robert Swissish. Okay. Somebody told me that he has a son who's a Breslover. That can happen in the best of families. What? What?
What's the title of it?
A Lethal Obsession. A Lethal Obsession. He even writes in the book at one point he writes that he himself had coined the idea that anti-Semitism is the longest hatred. The longest hatred. All right. So, if you turned over to the other side, then you're on page 744. Does it say 744?
Yes.
All right. You know what? It's 744. I'll take it down to the very last line. I'm taking it down to the bottom line. You see what's underlined over there? The bottom line is very clear. The end of days will not come until all the Jews have been killed. That is Islam today. Does that sound like Haman? Lahashmet? Lahana? Lave? Eskalayudin? Minar? Barzakin? Taf? Venoshin? Is the Purim story some kind of a cute story about a beautiful princess who captivates the heart of a king? Or is it the story of the early stages of the longest hatred? But the longest hatred goes back before that. Started with Amalek's sneak attack in the desert. And I tell you one thing. When Amalek attacked in the desert, there wasn't a single solitary settlement on the West Bank. and yet Amalek attacks. It goes back to the twins. The twins who are struggling in the womb of Rivka. Let's see. Let's go on to 7:45. And I have to pull out the fact is, I'm telling you, from the 940 pages, I could have chosen any 3-4 pages at random. At random, and you get the story. Let's read at the top of 7:45. The jihad, in the sense of combat with weapons, is perceived by all Islamists as the answer to the Zionist Nazi attack of the Jews. We are the Nazis of this generation. That's what we're called. As a fa'ard ayn, I don't know what it means, of duty. The duty of every Muslim, incumbent on every Muslim, and that is to destroy the Zionist Nazi. A major part of the book debunks this whole story as though there are two dinim. There's a din in Jew hatred, anti-Semitism, and then you can love Jews but be an anti-Zionist. There is no such thing. It doesn't exist. Anti-Zionism was just a means of attempting to cover up deep, deep, profound anti-Semitism. Let's go further.
Is he Jewish?
Robert Wisrich is Jewish, I said. The author of the book, I said his son is a Breslover. And I think he plays in one of these bands with a Bekish. That's what somebody told me, you know. He's good. The father is also good. All right. For Hamas, the battle for Palestine is preparation for the conclusive reckoning between Islam and the Jews. This was the eschatological belief that animated Sheikh Ahmad Yassin and many of the zealots alongside him from an early age. The Sheikh of the Intifada, or the Jihad professor, that was Ahmad Yassin, as he was sometimes called. Ahmad Yassin acquired charismatic status following his sentencing to 15 years in Israeli jail in May 1989. Many of the sadistic killings perpetrated by Hamas against the sons of Zion, we are described in their literature, Islam literature, as killers of the prophets and shedders of blood. Oh, by the way, the Muslims borrowed a great deal from Christianity. In Christianity, we are the ones who killed Christ. And in Islam, the Jews poisoned Mohammed. Mohammed died a slow death, they say, from poison, and of course the poison was administered by somebody Jewish. So you know, if you're a Christ killer or a God killer or a prophet killer, that's heavy stuff. Many of the sadistic killings perpetrated by Hamas against the sons of Zion, killers of the prophets and shedders of blood, were personally dedicated to Yassin as the unseen commander of the soldiers of Allah. Never lose sight of the fact, by the way, that I'm only reading one page out of 940. Don't think that there's one Ahmad Yassin. There are thousands of Ahmad Yassins. Don't think there's only Hamas. There are so many Muslim organizations filled with hatred.
But Rabbi, I have to correct you. Yes. That Mubarak helped us fight the Hamas for many years.
No.
Mubarak helped us fight the Hamas.
Well, let's say the following.
How do the weapons get into Gaza?
That Mubarak helped us many times get them out.
But this is all because he had long struggles.
Excuse me.
Mubarak helped us. Mubarak helped us for many years.
Excuse me.
No, I didn't like the way you said that he shouldn't have it flushed in mouth.
I'll say it again. He's a Russia Marusha. He's a Jew hater. He hates you and he hates me. And he hates every Jew. And if he could destroy this country, he would have done it. Don't tell me stories.
Yeah.
he would have destroyed this country. And the only reason why he didn't do it is because there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam and there's Tzahal. Somebody told me this morning, who was it? Was it Rabbi Kahana? It sounds like the kind of thing he would say. But maybe it wasn't him. In the Megillah it says, La Yehudim, Hoysa, Ora, V'Simcha, V'Soson, V'Yikar. And in the city of Shushan, there was Tzahala V'Samecha. So he says Tzahala means there was Tzahal. And when you have Tzahal, you understand, and you're ready to do what you can. Oh, by the way, can I understand something? Why are you so intent on defending Mubarak? What interest do you have in saying that the Pasha is not a Pasha?
He helped Israel. He helped Israel.
All right, okay, you know what, we're a fascinating people, okay, you know what, you want to believe that, that's okay, I happen to be the one saying the sheer side gap, and I'm going to express my opinion, that's all. You know, you make me feel good. You make me feel good. You remind me of my 40, 45 years in the rabbinate. There was always somebody that disagreed with the rabbi, sir. And you know what?
I don't agree with everything you say.
Oh, no.
I just said that the way you talked about Mubarak, I don't agree with you.
Okay, very good. So we disagree? We disagree on that. Let's go back to that. Yes. Miriam, what do you want, Miriam?
I just have to address this because to me this is so pashut, it's so simple, it's like our faith. The Muslim Brotherhood is in bed with Hamas. It's a common enemy. The last thing Mubarak wanted was Muslim Brotherhood in, and that's why he helped Israel fight Hamas. There is no other reason. Not to help us, but to help themselves. Mm-hmm. This is it.
I really came here today to talk Torah. I'm explaining to you, Chris, I'm going to have to, this is getting bad. This is getting better. I want you. No, fine. We'll get back there. Let's go. As the religious symbol of the apocalyptic spirit, the ascetic Yassin was released after the Oslo Accords. That was one of the stupider things we did. Remained the idol of the Hamas militants despite his severe infirmity. He was a cripple. He was in a wheelchair. Upon his return to Gaza, he continued to prophesy the imminent disappearance of Israel from the map, giving it 30 more years at most to live. In March 2004, Farah Hashem, an Israeli Apache helicopter missile, finally fulfilled the Sheikh's self-proclaimed wish for martyrdom. They just, what did they call it, a chisul? They finished him off. In other words, the one that they let out of prison was so dangerous. And this they did as a gesture.
Goodwill gesture.
Yeah. Sheikh Yassin had inculcated into many young Palestinians the ardent wish for martyrdom and self-immolation, and the desire for blood, revenge, liberation from the scoundrels who had conquered their land. Jihad against the Jews and a martyr's death were integral to the language of the first and second intifadas as they had been to earlier Palestinian revolts, such as the 1936-39 uprising against the British. And by the way, they're also the other great lover of Jews, Haj Amin El Husseini, the Mufti of Jerusalem, who was appointed by a Jewish High Commissioner of Britain, you understand? Haj Amin, he was the one who made a pact with Hitler, spent the war in Germany, giving Hitler aces how to exterminate the Jewish people. And you know what they also planned? They planned ultimately crushing Eretz Yisrael. And boy, were they close to it. Hitler was rushing across Europe in order to come around to the north of Eretz Yisrael. Rommel was rushing across North Africa in order to get Eretz Yisrael in the middle, and well, we know what happened at Stalingrad, you understand. Stalingrad stopped him dead in his tracks, and El Alamein. I couldn't help it, you know. Some of the places that had been in the news lately in Libya, Tobruk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Great battle, El Alamein and Tobruk. Those were the battles that really saved Eretz Yisrael, Tobruk. And they're fighting it out, they're killing themselves. It's unbelievable what's going on. All right. Down toward the bottom of the page, it says, the Zionists, on the other hand, were doomed to suffer the fate of the Latin Crusaders. References to Muhammad's victory over the Jews in the Kaibar Oasis and to their exile from Arabia in 640 CE have fulfilled a similar function in the Islamist collective memory. Did I say that we're not going to finish today? I did say.
Yeah.
All right. Let's turn over to page 736. We'll read one paragraph in the middle, and with that we'll stop for today. But we have to continue this. I'm not going to leave you here in the middle. You may go home liking Mubarak. I can't do that. Let's go. I'm sorry. I'm just in Purim. There are two moods to Purim. One mood to Purim is, of course, the light one. And the other is the serious one. Since we can't be both light-headed and serious at the same time, because we're commemorating the profound fear of the Jewish people about to be destroyed, and then, of course, the dramatic joy of victory. So we can't do we are not, as human beings, we're not capable of extreme joy and terrifying fear at one and the same time. That's why our rabbis were brilliant. They gave us a Tainis Esther, and they gave us a Purim. Tainis Esther is the day on which the sense of our fate hanging in the balance, and by the way, it hangs in the balance right now. There's no question about it. There are forces in the world that want to destroy us, and that's the purpose of it all. And that's the way I'm learning Pshat, is this Mordechai, Asher Hachiloto Limpolifonim. All of a sudden, the family of the person who just the day before was getting ready to annihilate an entire world of Jews, all of a sudden they're trembling from one Mordechai. Because it's all of the visions that they have of the Jew. The vision that they have of the Jew is becoming true in their own mind. I think their hatred, it turns out, the extreme hatred of the Muslim world to us is also the reason for their profound fear. They believe it. They believe that we are part of an awesome world power waiting there to pounce on every Muslim. They believe it. They believe it. We'll just read that paragraph in the middle, page 736. They, the Jews, took advantage of key elements and unfolding events and accumulated a huge and influential material wealth which they put to the service of implementing their dream. Their dream, of course, is to take over the world. Mm-hmm. Har Nof today, tomorrow the world. This wealth permitted them to take over control of the world media, such as news agencies, the press, publication houses, broadcasting, and the like. They also used this wealth to stir revolutions in various parts of the globe in order to fulfill their interests and pick the fruits. They stood behind the French and communist revolutions, you know, liberty, equality, and fraternity. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Jibes. Okay, whatever. French lady doesn't know it. We were behind the French Revolution. Let's look ahead. You know what I feel bad about? He mentions the Communist Revolution. What about the American Revolution? Don't shoot until you see the whites of their eyes. Give me liberty or give me death. And my only regret is that I have but one life to give for my country. David Wolfe, you're a Canadian. You were born a Canadian. A Zana Canadian Johnson label. You don't know the heroes of the American Revolution. What do you know about the heroes? George Washington, Nathan Hale. Ah! So then you grow up, you find out that that George Washington with all of his garments when I stick our shikar out it. You find out all the truth about the great heroes, but I can't believe that. George Washington was first in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. That's what he was. That's what will always remain to me. But I'd rather have more than a $1 bill. That's all. They stood behind the French and communist revolutions and behind most of the revolutions we hear about here and there. Whatever their revolutions, we were there. They also used the money to establish clandestine organizations which are spreading around the world in order to destroy societies and carry out Zionist interests. Such organizations are the Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, B'nai B'rith, I don't know, Pirkei Agudas Yisrael, and the like. All of them are destructive spying organizations. They believe this. They believe this. They also used the money to take over control of the imperialist states and made them colonize many countries in order to exploit the wealth of those countries and spread their corruption therein. You understand? The 19th century, all the colonies, all of those people who are enslaved, we did it all. That's what we're up against. We're not finished. There are going to be a number of other significant points that we're going to have to make that will explain to us Psukim in Torah and the Megillah. But again, this is the reality of today. To us, it seems like one big joke. It's the most serious, serious, dangerous joke in the world. Okay, wait, I got a guest, Sarah, Sarah's here long. She's here since 1949. 49?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yesterday was 62 years.
What?
Yesterday was 62 years that we came on Aliyah.
52 years?
52.
52. Wait, oh, 62. Yeah, because he came before, right after the state. Yeah. The state is 63.